work, 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 work. Diamonds all in my ring, player. Gold watches, gold chain, player. 100,000 champagne, player. Yeah, my money insane, player. Yeah, I'm making it rain, player. But I was just on a plane, player. Buying gear, flying here. It ain't what you heard, it's my time of year.
Yeah, we're live.
No, but they can hear the music.
They can hear the music? Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining me again. This is Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates us to move. Consider this your Monday motivation and your lunch break grind and your weekly reminder to figure out what your passions are and work it out. Today on the show, we have Chaka Felder McIntyre. Now, stepping out today, I was like, how am I going to say this? I should have just asked you. McIntyre, who is going to tell us about, you know, some of the things that she does for work and how she works it out. So, Chaka, take it away.
Oh, my gosh. So, some of the things that I do to work it out,
How about that?
I think that's one of the best things that we can do right now. I don't know who you may be or what age you might be in this stage in life, but I think working out just gives us good balance. Do you work out?
I mean,
I know that's a rhetorical question, but I really want to know the truth. Tell us people. No.
Work. Yes. Define work out.
Are you serious? Are you full of it? No, I'm not going to define work out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in theory, I work out. You know what I mean? Like, I work out, like, I would think about waking up and going to the track, and then I also think
about... So you're working out in your brain cells.
My brain, and you know, there was actually, Ted did Technology Entertainment Design, they did a story about how it is more beneficial for you to think about the things that are standing in your way when you're trying to have a goal as opposed to thinking about that goal. Because when you think about that goal, you trick your mind into thinking you've already done it. When I heard that, I said to myself, that's why I never work out, because I'm always thinking about working out.
That's called negotiation. You do realize that.
What's called negotiation? What I just said?
You're sitting in your bed in the morning thinking about how, okay, if I get to the gym, but I got to do this, but I got to do that. That's just, you're just negotiating with yourself. You do realize that.
I mean, but also negotiating is good, right? In any other sense.
This is my theory.
People tell women all the time, if they don't negotiate enough, and now I'm getting it that I negotiate too much. I don't know how we got on this topic.
The definition of working out, that's how we got here. If this is my theory, if when I wake up in the morning and I'm supposed to be at the gym by 5, if I wake up and I spend more than 5 minutes laying down negotiating with myself why I should not go to the gym, I just get up and go.
That I'm not negotiating about why I should not. I'm negotiating about how I already did
for the day.
Yeah, that's true.
And I need to do this and I need to do that. But I've already wasted 5 minutes of my brain cells and negotiate with myself. Then you might as well just get your tail up and go.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But we're here talking about you. We're here to talk about you. So I have you on the show today as the founder and is it executive director or CEO?
You want to make it CEO.
I do. I sure do.
founder and executive director of Higher Heights Youth Empowerment Programs, which I started back in 2004. Mm-hmm. We're a state organization here in Connecticut where we help high school students and their families do the entire college application process. So we've been here for a while now. We're doing some great work now moving statewide. And the way that we work it out, if you want to put it all together.
There you go.
We really just guide parents through the entire process. So from knowledge about college to awareness to networking on a college campus, the financial aid process, the whole entire gamut so that students, even if you went to college.
If
your parent went to college. Things are constantly changing. So we just help families go through that entire process. And we've done a good job, according to what people tell us. So
I mean, I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, though. I'll be honest with you. Right now in the state of Connecticut, it is financially real.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Funding.
Funding is.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
This is the toughest year we've ever experienced. This is horrible. This is the worst.
Tell me about it.
Financial state that I've ever seen Connecticut in,
mm-hmm.
where there's days where I'm just like, I don't even know we're going to be open tomorrow.
Really?
It's Connecticut right now, financial. Mm-hmm. I don't know if other nonprofits are going through this, but mm-hmm. it's real.
Yeah.
It's really real. And every time I get that thought, I'll get a call, I'll get an email, mm-hmm. I'll get a text from this parent or from a student who is just like, you know, can Higher Heights do this? Can we need help with this? We need help with that. So we press on, we work it out. But I'm telling you right now, Connecticut financially, I don't know how successful nonprofits like us are going to stay here in the
mm-hmm.
state
mm-hmm.
in order to benefit the community, because it's just not looking good. Connecticut is just not set up for success, financial success right now.
So how, because you started this organization in, what'd you say, 2004. So how have you, well, first of all, let's back up. Because I want to know the origin stories. Have you been listening to the show?
Yeah.
So
in and out.
So you know that the show is about how people are making their passions into their full time, right? Turning their 9-to-5s into 24/7s kind of thing. And so I want to back up and talk to you about how you took this, where this passion came from, and how you took that passion and turned it into this job for you.
It was I guess everyone's born with a gift. Like mm-hmm. your gift is communications.
I guess
right?
That's what
if
they tell
someone
me.
Someone was to put you into finances, you're probably like, no, mm-hmm. right?
I sure would. Do not right. come looking for my resume.
Do not. Don't manage my. Don't I'm not managing it. Your money.
I will not.
But that was my gift, was counseling, but more specifically, college and career counseling
mm-hmm.
is my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that extremely early on. I was recruited here from, I'm originally from Harlem, New York.
In New York, nice.
And I went to a job fair when I graduated from graduate school in Brooklyn. And was hired on the spot to work in the technical high schools as a school counselor. So I started
in Connecticut.
In Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And so I started at Bullard Havens. Ugh, love Bullard Havens. I love Bullard Havens. And immediately saw that there was 180 days in the school year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a caseload of 250 or more students.
Mm-hmm.
You do the math.
Yeah, I can't. We talked about earlier. I'm not great at math.
Let me be very basic for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. There's 180 days in the school year. If you have 250 students on your caseload and you are the only counselor on a particular caseload, then mathematically, there's no way you can see
2 to 3 students a day.
1.5.
Oh, wow.
Per day. And so I may never see you.
Mm-hmm.
You may be great as a student, but you might not be a problem student, behaviorally, whatever. So you might just coast right through.
Mm-hmm.
And I may never actually touch you. You may never touch me. I may never touch you. I'm not talking about like,
not
you know, touching, but you know. And that I realized that. And I said to myself, well, what could I do in the off time to create an organization that can help all of those students who get missed?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how Higher Heights came about. It was just that simple. It was to provide additional supports for school counselors so that they can make sure that they have all the resources that they need to touch all the students on their caseload. Point simple. That's
oh, wow.
it. It wasn't to, you know, take away from someone's work.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even to supplant someone's work. It was to support mm-hmm. the work. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
To augment capacity.
Just to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Either augment, if you want to use the word augment, if you want to say expand, mm-hmm. however you want to think about it, increase, whatever it is. But you need help. You can't sit there and say, oh, I'm a, and school counselors are a jack of all trades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure are.
You know, in our
shout
Greek
out to the
world,
school
we
counselors.
Say jack of all trades, masters of none, right?
Master so, of none, right.
But at some point, you need an expert at the table who's good at something in order to help you do your job. Right. And that's where Higher Heights comes in. So we've started as an after-school program, 25 students at best. Immediately jumped into the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the kids came from.
But did they 20, come?
We started with 25 kids. And we've ballooned to now a little over 1,000.
Oh, wow.
Over the past years.
Over 1,000. Over the years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Over 1,000. So,
and how many, what has been like the height, of the enrolled students?
150.
How do you do it? Like,
I have a great team.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
I have a great team. And I think I'm a good searcher of people.
Searcher of people.
Well, I don't know.
You gonna throw that on your resume too?
No. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but I think I'm a good, I know how to surround myself with people who either feed into me or I feed into them. I'm not that kind of a person who's like, I'm going to drain you. I want something from you. It needs to be like this circle of life thing. I really believe in that whole circle of life. And I really surround myself with people like that. And then, you know, when our times are done and our seasons are done, it's fine. We've served a purpose for each other. But so I've been able to really get a good team of people around me and really partner with some other organizations for staffing support, other districts. So like right now we have a partnership with New Haven. We have 3 full-time, our college advisors in 2 New Haven public schools.
Oh, wow. Which ones?
Hilton, Metropolitan Business Academy and Co-op.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Backtrack. Career.
Career.
Metropolitan Business Academy and Career High School.
Shout out to the Panthers.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. The principal would kill me. But yeah. So, and they're doing a good job. So they're like, right now they're working with the seniors. They have been doing FAFSA.
Okay.
Completions.
It's around that time of year.
It's around that time right now. They've been doing college acceptances, college applications, taking them on college visits, but really allowing the school counselors, not to say that the school counselors are not going to do the college stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have a caseload, like I said, of maybe like 200 kids, you can give another number of caseload to a higher high staff member who's there in your building full time.
Right.
To work only with those students only on that specific thing so that you can go ahead and do everything underneath the sun that school counselors do, from crisis intervention to responsive services.
Because the load is heavy.
The load and the work, the load and the work of what school counselors do right now in this day and age is extremely heavy. School counselors are expected to do everything from scheduling to orientations to intake to counseling. It runs a huge gamut. So, and then you have a student who's sitting in front of you who's like, you know, a baby, hey, I need help. I want to go to college. And then you have this other stuff that you have to take care of. So why not have another expert near you? And you're not handing them over, but you're working in, you know, in partnership.
In concert, right.
And it's great. And the school, our 2 schools this year, Career and Metropolitan, the counselors at those schools, the principals at those schools, it's great. It's awesome.
That's great.
It's really good.
And okay, so I'm curious about the things that like motivated people to move. You took this from, you know, your brainchild, something that you probably negotiated with yourself for 5 minutes in the morning, right? To it being now a 13-year
going on 14 year.
You just looked at your clock to try to figure out where. 14-year organization, and you know you're thriving, you're helping kids in the community. What was it that took you from brainchild to executive director?
When the need didn't stop.
Okay. Tell me about that.
If I always said to myself, right, and God and I always have these conversations.
You and God? He talks back?
Yeah.
Okay.
If the need stops, then I'll stop. End of story. I'm not going to push and continue to do something if there's no need for it. The need is there. But like I said, Connecticut, school districts as well, they need to step up financially in order to continue to make this happen. Students are going to always want to go to school. And college isn't for everyone.
It's not.
And that's fine. But at Higher Heights, what we believe, my job is to make sure that you have the information to make an informed decision as to whether or not college is for
you. It's for you. Right.
Whether you go or not is up to you. But my job is to make sure that you have the information to make an informed decision. And as long as, you know, people are asking for help, and as long as parents are asking for help, we're going to continue to do the work. But I can't lie to you, Mercy. It's getting hard. Like financially, it's getting real.
So, and I'm happy we transitioned to the financial piece because I've had people on the show who told me, you know, because I talk about how you take your 9-to-5 and you turn it to
your passion.
Your passion, right? And you turn fruitful. Exactly. Yeah. So you and I have had these conversations about how you make that step, that full leap.
It's that leap of faith.
Because
people know me, they know that I have not made that full leap because financially, you know, what Higher Heights does is so unique and so specific. It's not like, you know, we're this organization that dabbles in this, that, and the third. So we don't get to choose around the types of grants or the type of funding or even the fundraisers that we do. We don't get to choose. You know, for example, if we were, say, a Boys and Girls Club, we could choose between academics, between recreational, between health, between all these different things. But we're so unique and we're so specific. And that becomes our strength. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that becomes also our downfall weakness. All at the same time. Not our weakness, well, not our downfall, but our
barrier.
Our barrier at the same time, because some people are just like, well, everybody doesn't go to college. And I always have to fight that. I've had to fight those conversations. I've even now had to fight these conversations about equity and equality and what that really means.
Who are you fighting those conversations with? Parents or students or?
Funders.
Funders. Mm, what are they saying about that?
I mean, to have this equity and equality conversation about why we need to be doing this work about making sure that students apply for financial aid when Connecticut only has a 23% completion rate, that's statewide. If you drill down those numbers and you're looking at first gen and minority students, those numbers are in the single digits. Mm-hmm. When I have those conversations with people, my eyes are starting to open up because I'm wondering, do you even want this to happen?
Right.
Or you just want the system to continue to create this barrier for our minority first gen students and low income students to not go to school? I don't understand what the problem is, but now I'm starting to understand what the problem is. You want the system to perpetuate itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll play that game, right? So my passion now is starting to shift a little bit, not so much into the direct service, but more into the policy stuff behind it.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I'm really starting to get upset at the system and the way things are set. I'll give you another example. The Connecticut college system, the CCSUs, have done an awesome job of making sure that the cost of tuition stays low. Mm-hmm. Great job. UConn, for example, just a couple of weeks ago, went to visit their Stanford campus. You can go to their Stanford campus, I think it for $6,000 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
For a UConn degree?
Wait.
Stanford?
Wait, a year?
Yeah.
No room and board?
Yeah.
Really?
They have a dorm now. Wow. Stanford has a dorm, or has a campus, a dorm. State-of-the-art dorm, too, with marble countertops, loft style dorms. It's like, what 18-year-old has earned the right to live in a loft?
Earned the right to have granite countertop
to live in a loft.
Do you know what I've
with
done?
A dishwasher with
to get the granite countertops in my home?
Granite wood floors. What 18-year-old has deserved the right? Okay, that's but funny. Fine. You know, all right, fine. So we had that wonderful conversation about like, what has an 18-year-old done in order? Some of these dorms right now on some of these college campuses are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You're really paying for the granite and you're paying for the wood grain, I'm telling you.
No, at Quinnipiac, I know exactly what I was paying for. I was paying to have green grass underneath the snow all winter long.
Quinnipiac has the best.
The best grass you'll ever see.
And Trinity College too.
If you could literally take your gloves and pull back the grass, back the snow underneath.
You're paying for landscaping. Yeah. You're paying what is it? $53,000 now a year for landscaping.
I think it's 69 now.
Sad.
It's a lot.
That's my point. So the CCSUs have kept their prices down, but we have our private institutions in Connecticut, right? Call it like it is. University of Hartford. Mm-hmm. Quinnipiac, Trinity,
UNH.
Even UB, UNH, Albertus. The cost of those private institutions are just astronomical.
Yeah.
But why? Why?
You tell me.
Are there folks, I don't know if I should say this, are there folks graduating from these institutions that I need to follow? Because they are now making six figures? No,
sorry. Oh, you said six figures.
Are
no,
they making
don't
six figures
me.
After they just paid that amount of money?
Well, I mean, this is actually what I said when I was in college, right? So with the journalism degree, I had to go back to get a master's because with the journalism degree.
Did you go back to QU for your master's?
I went to QU for my master's. Did, yeah. With the journalism degree, paying at the time, I think it might have been 58 or 62 a year. The job that I was offered right out of college offered me, this is not what I was paid, they offered me 25 a year. Right, exactly. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, you know, I can't wait to graduate because then I can
that's
stop.
Not even how much you pay per semester.
Right, right. And that's not even how much I pay for room and board, right? Like it ends up being just, how am I supposed to work a job that pays me, a third in salary of what I had to pay to get this degree a year. That doesn't make any sense. It's just inequitable. I'll never be able to pay back these student loans.
But you got to start asking my deeper question is, why is Connecticut continuing to let that happen? There's other states who have done away with such things, California in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've leveled the financial playing field.
Really? Even for the private schools, private
universities? They're starting to level it.
That's interesting.
So why can't Connecticut do that?
Or why hasn't?
And not only that, mm-hmm. here's my thing about Connecticut. I guess my fight really isn't about so much as to why the cost of a private institution is so high. But our economy doesn't even support the living after you graduate from these institutions.
It's true.
If Connecticut had a thriving economy, great. Go to QU. Go to University of Hartford. Pay $56,000 a year, $200,000 a year, because you're going to make X, Y, and Z because we have the economy here in Connecticut mm-hmm. to support it. Mm-hmm. But we don't. So how am I, as this expert in college and career, right? How am I supposed to now support sending students mm-hmm. to these institutions and then telling them to stay in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
How are you supposed to do it? I got a comment coming in from Facebook right now from Seth Poole, who said, he graduated from Trinity College and he now
nice
owns...
Nice grass.
Also nice grass, yes. And he now owns a multifamily home, and he said that is the only way to stay above water without a second job.
And so you're a landlord, Seth, on top... I know Seth has other multiple ventures. on top of that, mm-hmm. so you had to add another
supplementary income
and another income, because now he's a landlord.
Mm-hmm.
In order to, why do we have to do that?
How are you
that?
Making it work? How are you working it out?
How are you working it out?
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's how he's working it
and
out.
And I think that's a really good point to come back and let everybody know that if you just tuning in with us, you're listening to Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work at work and how what gets them motivated to move. You can listen every Monday at noon on WNHH 103.5 and streaming live on Facebook, the New Haven Independent Facebook page. Today on my show, thank you so much for joining me, Chaka. Chaka Felon, she corrected me earlier, McIntyre, there it is, who's telling me about how she turned her 9-to-5 into a 24-7. But I want to revisit this because we talked a bit, little bit about making those full leaps.
Yeah.
So what are you doing right now? How are you juggling? Because a lot of people know that you're doing the good work of Higher Heights yeah. Youth Empowerment Program, but you're also working for New Haven Public Schools.
Yeah.
So, I mean, tell me a bit about how that works out.
Yeah, I keep my base strong in terms of making sure that I'm informed about what's going on. I do work for New Haven Public Schools. I love our district.
Mm-hmm.
Love our students and our families and the people that we work for. In that role, I'm the district's lead school counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I support all of the work for the college and career initiatives mm-hmm. across the district. I'm also the district's 504 coordinator as well. And I do that, and I love doing that. Like I told you earlier, I came to the Connecticut as a school counselor. So mm-hmm. it really isn't a way to get out of that
yeah.
role. Higher Heights is my passion. It is my love. And it's the way that I support the school counselors who I work with. That's mm-hmm. the way that I support their work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had partnerships in the past with Hampden Public Schools. Mm-hmm. We've had our staff in Hampden Public Schools. We want to get out into more districts. The state level work that we're doing right now, Higher Heights, is the state organization for the Connecticut College Application Campaign.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to ConnecticutGoalsToCollege.org, we are the overseeing organization for that. That's in partnership
That's awesome.
With Washington, D.C., where we're supporting other districts across the state around their college application initiatives to get more students. Specifically, I want to be very clear about who these students are. Minority, low income, first mm-hmm. gen, to get them to apply and to get them to apply for financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's we were tapped by DC and I was excited about that, but that came with no funding. It was like, oh yeah, duly knighted, but go do the work
exactly.
and be prosperous.
Right.
go do the work and be prosperous.
Without these funds.
Without the funds. Yeah, great, sure.
So now,
but yeah,
when
so
you
I,
get
do,
into these...
I do both. Mm-hmm. I do both worlds because they're equally aligned. And a lot of people ask me all the time, you know, like, how do you do all that? Listen, people, I'm a firm believer in 24 hours in a day. It's not, and I don't think I look bad. Not yet. I don't think I look like I'm, like gravity has hit me yet. But there's 24 hours in a day. If you are spending 5 hours watching VH1,
VH1.
Okay, Jaka. I won't say a network. What? Watching reality TV or ratchet TV for 5 hours. Do you know how much you could get done in 5 hours in terms of efficiency and productivity, and either giving back to your community or either building up your own entrepreneurship, whatever, your business or whatever? 5 hours is a long time.
It is. Beyonce has the same 24 hours as we do. There's no excuse.
So
you didn't even know what to do with that. You're like, dang, Beyonce got the same 24 hours.
Yeah,
because
I was about to say somebody else, but then I was like, nah, he's not getting a reference. but I was going to say something that was really crazy. But yeah, it's 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So
how can we encourage folks to take that dive, right? I think it might have been you about what it was. Must have been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe about a year ago. Everybody was sharing this, the frog in the pot analogy. Did you see that? Wasn't you?
No.
So apparently Steve Harvey made this frog in the pot analogy, and it was like,
the jump.
You got to jump.
Yeah, that was me.
That was me.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So for those listening in, the frog in the pot analogy that Steve Harvey made was,
I didn't use the frog in analogy jump.
You didn't do it?
No, I was doing the parachute.
Oh, okay, the parachute.
Yeah.
So it was the frog in it.
Okay,
I was gonna say, now that I talked about the frog and everybody wondered what the frog is.
What's the frog?
So the frog is, all right. So a frog is in a boiling pot.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for it to heat up and heat up and heat up.
He's in the boiling pot
and he's waiting for it to heat up. He's not waiting for it to heat up. He's sitting there and it's heating up, and he doesn't know when is the right time to jump out of the pot. If he waits too long, this is the point that Steve Harvey was making. If he waits too long, everything is going to be constricted. It's already too hot for him to make the jump. So should you wait, try to wait out the heat, or should you make that jump? And once you make that jump, you'll find out that you're no longer in heat. Things start working out for you. And that was a lot of people started sharing that a while back. And I remember you were sharing something like that. And around that time, so
yeah, we were debating who's going to make the jump, and you made the jump, and I stayed in the water.
Yeah, listen, let's not go there, because let's not talk about it.
That was our January conversation. I remember that conversation.
So my question to you is the jump even necessary? Because a lot of people try to figure out, like, oh, well, you said depends. Tell me about it.
It really depends. I think everyone's professions and their paths are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you jumped.
Don't say, you know, I jumped. What I mean? I didn't jump.
You jumped. Mm-mm. You know,
I'm double dutching right now.
But there's so, like, even the Steve Harvey analogy when he said he jumped. And I respect Steve Harvey and things like that. But see, when you are ready to take a massive jump into something, and I have a family, husband, kids, whatever. If I was to take a jump into something, I don't just have myself to think about.
That's true.
It's easier to take a jump when it's just you.
When it's just you, yeah. You got the, when you have the weight of, you know,
right,
other folks on your parachute.
Or I use the analogy of an eagle, right? So T.D. Jakes recently just gave,
I'm sorry about all the, you know, the animal personifications, y'all, but we gonna,
oh, but it works.
So. It does work.
So if you're an eagle or a bird and you're learning how to fly, and at some point you have to put people on your wings so that they can learn how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
I have other people on my wings right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take a jump and I go somewhere else, where are all those folks going to be? I think about that all the time.
Wow. So, I mean, for you then, you're in a good place.
I'm in a good place for other people. But the question is, am I in a good place for myself? I always ask that question.
And how do you answer that question?
I don't know. I'm struggling with that right now.
You trying to work it out?
I'm not trying to work it out. I'm struggling. I am. I'm struggling with that because, you know, I'm a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of things for the community. I do a lot of things for other people. And it's great for other people. But I'm always questioning, like, but
what's good for me?
What's good for me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what can you say to those who are trying to figure out if they can make that jump?
I would say continue to still, like, if you're in the same mental space as I am in right now, I would say just continue to do good work. Like, I'm just very optimistic that at some point something is just going to work itself out because I just continue to do good.
Mm-hmm.
If I go and I start doing things selfishly or for the wrong reasons, evil, whatever it may be, it's going to come back to bite me harder than I probably could ever imagine. Mm. So if I continue to just do the good work and be of good heart, at some point it's going to work itself out. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't work itself out for me, it's going to definitely work itself out for the next generation behind me, for my kids or either their kids. I just always keep that right in the forefront of my mind. Mm-hmm. I do.
I think that's a really good point, because especially in, I'll say, you know, communities of color, there is an entrepreneurship inequity, right? It ends up being that, like, I can't make that space for a jump, because I do have all the other burdens holding me back, right? Like, you know, the heat is turned up in the metaphor of the frog. The heat is turned up in the sense that my heat can't get turned off, right? Or in the sense of I still need to eat. I still need to pay these bills. And it ends up being a real difficult situation of how do I make this passion, right, that I might only have 5 hours a day to work on. How do I take that and turn it into a 24/7 or a 9-to-5?
But that's what I did. I realized it was 24 hours in a day. And regardless of what I'm doing, whenever I put something, whenever mm-hmm. whenever Chaka gives herself to something, I'm giving you 1,000. Mm-hmm. I will tell you no if I can't do something, either because I'm not interested or you're not going to get 1,000 out of me. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to get 1,000 out of me, I'm not going to do it. And I just made that my point. So people say to me all the time, how do you manage Higher Heights and work at the same time, because I'm giving both my all.
Yeah.
I'm tired. it's all or nothing, to be honest. It's all, but I know when to check out. Mm-hmm. I do know when to check out. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do work out, because that's my space to knock the wall out. Yeah. Because somebody to piss me off. But, you know, you just have to, if you are going to be that person that's going to balance both worlds, like Seth said, I got to balance both worlds. You're going to give it your all. If you're managing multifamily homes, mm-hmm. be the best landlord ever. Mm-hmm. Have the best properties ever. And build up the community. Like, there's mm-hmm. something to give. And there's even something in that. I don't advise people to do what I do. To do two things.
Specifically?
To do two passions.
Okay.
Not unless you're gifted that way. Mm-hmm. I don't advise it, because it comes with a lot of sacrifice.
It's a lot of sacrifice.
And
to
it
do
becomes
that.
What, I mean, you know, especially if you have a husband, something's going to give. Mm-hmm. Or a spouse or a significant other, something is not going to give in some space of your world.
Right. Right.
You know, like when I'm with my kids, you know, when I have the babies with me, like they I got them.
They
like
get 100.
Their time. That's their time. Mm-hmm. People try to interrupt their time, and they know how to tell people, we're with mommy right now. You need to leave her alone.
They say that?
Yeah.
They can say that.
But I mean, it's hard. I don't know, have any good advice for the audience right now, except for do what you know that you want to do. Because once you start doing what you know you want to do and you're good at it, you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. So like Higher Heights isn't always work for me, because it's my happy space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing something and it's draining you, you definitely need to make that jump and get out the boiling water.
So you're saying to balance that happiness and that health and that wellness with what you have to do to make ends meet.
Balance it and make sure something is making you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing is when it comes down to happiness, right? All right. So yoga. A lot of people don't notice about me, but a lot of people do notice about me. Yoga is like my thing. I do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, casually. Right? Yoga is like my thing. No, people ask me to
like
do.
Like hot yoga or regular yoga?
No, yoga. Like,
really?
I another thing that I do is
get it out.
I'm trying to get it out. What am I? I'm the Connecticut leader for an organization called Outdoor Afro. And so I do like yoga events for Outdoor Afro sometimes. And because of that, like, you know, that is my thing. Being outside.
That makes you happy,
it
right?
It makes me happy. But
that's
also,
your outlet.
That's so where I'm trying to balance is I am happy in the outdoors, but I am also good at communications. Anyone who knows me knows, like, that communications.
Oh, yeah, that's your thing.
That's my thing. That's my baby.
That's your bam.
Exactly. If I could do outdoor communications, that'd be great. So we sit here and we're trying to talk to the folks who are listening in about, you know, direction, give them good advice on, you know, how to make, take motivation from our words. How do you balance that? How do you balance that?
I'm just happy in both spaces. So one, give you a perfect example. One allows me to pay my bills. The other one feeds my heart.
Ooh, that's good.
That's you got to find what's going to feed your heart.
Mm-hmm. One puts food on the table.
One puts food on the table. And the other one really feeds my heart. But there's space for both of them to coexist because that's the way I've created it.
That's cool.
I didn't want to be that person that was like, oh, well, I want to do outdoors and college stuff. The two don't
coexist.
How in the world are you going
to
figure out how the two coexist? Mm-hmm. Education is my thing. Anything that I do needs to revolve around that space. Mm-hmm. If I do anything personally for me, it's around fitness. That's just chaka personally. Mm-hmm. But professionally, in that world, anything that I do, co-founder of Booker T. Washington Academy, education.
Yep.
Executive director, founder of Higher Heights, education. New Haven Public Schools, education. Mentoring programs in upstate New York and also in Harlem, education. Like, for me, I was like, okay, how do I create this hub and what's going to be the nucleus?
Education.
It's education.
Yeah.
That's it. If you want me to do anything around finance, I'm not your girl. I can't do it.
I'm gonna push you in the right direction.
I don't know how that's gonna fit. Right. Like, this doesn't, you know.
So what was the hardest thing about being your own CEO then? Because you did find a nucleus, but what was the hardest thing about being your own CEO? Or my bad. I keep saying
running
CEO.
A business is no joke.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, running a business is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's times when, you know, I have to be, you know, my district duties. And there's time when, like, my staff needs me and I cannot be in two worlds at the same time.
Yeah.
So that has been sometimes the hardest part. That's been, like, a lot of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my best employees said that to me. She's like, you know, there's moments when I need you and I can't have you because I know you have to be doing that. So, like, and then we had to sit down and I had to learn from them about how could I feed into them and then feed into me all at the same time to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
But again, it's about who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
If I had hired some cuckoo puffs, you know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Right.
There'll be boiling water everywhere.
I'm
seriously.
I'm actually happy that I had you on the show because I think that people often get the message that the boiling water has to force you to jump, that in order to be happy, you have to jump. Or you can just kind of keep adding to your pot. You could just keep adding to your pot and be as happy as you want to be.
If you add to your pot and it feeds you.
And it feeds you. You can't just arbitrarily add to your pot.
Can't just arbitrarily add to your pot.
You know,
you
what's crazy?
Now we mixing, on your plate.
Now we mixing
metaphors.
You're
going to be rolling out the window. You're going to be rolling out the door because you fat as all get out because you keep adding to your plate. Take stuff off your plate. Balance the plate. Got a little carbs, got a little greens, got a little protein.
Okay, so now we're getting into fitness,
balance
education, entrepreneurship.
I'm educating you on your fitness and how you balance out your zen. Balance your zen. Real talk, balance your zen. Because you can't do it all. Seriously.
You can't. You can't.
Imagine, you're about to get married, right?
I sure am.
And at some point, you guys are going to start a family.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
needs to stop. Y'all all need to stop wishing that on us. Can we just enjoy our youth without children?
At some point. I didn't say next year or 2 years.
Stop wishing it on us.
At some point, adopted the dog. Anybody is going to be a child.
Yep.
Somebody or something is going to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
But something might have to give.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying I'm happy that you came on the show because a lot of people think you got to make that jump one way or another.
No, you don't.
You can give half of yourself to your passion. And by half of yourself, I mean your full self half the time. To your passion.
Give your full self half the time.
And give your full self half, you know, the other half of the time to the things that make ends meet.
Yeah. But know that there'll be sacrifice with that.
There will be sacrifices. So before I let you go, and I'm so happy you came
on.
You're
such a cutie patootie.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're like so happy. She's so, so emotional. So happy.
No,
you came on.
Well, you was late.
I was voluntold to be here, though. I know. I was like,
If y'all wondering why we started, at 12:06.
We had technical difficulties. Technical difficulties.
No. Before I let you go, though,
my serious lunch hour. Right now.
I let you. I ask all my guests one question, and this is the question that I want you to stew on, but I also want you to ask it in a moment so I can get the most genuine answer from you. And it's not how do you work it out; it's what gets you worked up.
Oh, what gets me worked up?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's everything that's inequitable.
Everything that's inequitable?
Inequitable in terms of our kids being successful after high school. That is getting me.
That gets you worked up?
Right now?
Yeah.
All the way worked up.
Why?
Because it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, right now, the world has us focused on police brutality,
mm-hmm.
right? And pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual abuse and all those things and mm-hmm. everything that's happening right now with the Republican administration. But this is other stuff that's happening that if we're not completely aware
mm-hmm.
of everything,
mm-hmm.
we are going to be in a lot of trouble. I am not going to sit here and just focus only on what's in primetime news.
Yeah.
Because you got to look underneath.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real stuff
mm-hmm.
that you need to get it focused on, and those are the things right now that are boiling, getting me worked up, especially in the state of Connecticut. The fact that our kids cannot afford a college education in the state of Connecticut is pissing me off.
And with that, thank you so much again to Dr. Chaka
Felden Mickens. I was gonna end it off with it.
You've been listening to Work It Out with Mercy Quay. Tune in every Monday at noon to figure out how to work it out. So many bottles, it's gonna be hard to drink, but I'm still pulling up and my family here and they